God bless you, saints. Good to be in the house of the Lord. We had a good time at Bible study last night. So let's study some more Bible. We're going through Hebrews. We made it to Hebrews chapter 2 last Sunday. So let's keep going through that. If the brothers can pull that up. We'll just read through again real quick just to set the context. And Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. On the next slide. Now, there's your a good evidence that something's happened when you see Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And on the next slide, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not only the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And on the next slide, we'll just kind of do a little quick background of verse 1, where it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And Brother Branham kind of outlined, we've heard so many things, so let's not let these things slip. It's so easy to just take for granted the things we've heard and not busy ourselves, not make ourselves lively stones with the word that we've heard. So he said we ought to be busy every minute trying to get people to Christ. We ought to be concerned. We ought to be lively stones. We should never be slothful like we are. And that quote I read last Sunday that kind of got a reaction. We'll go up to church and we'll see the Lord Jesus do something or bless us in such a way. And then we'll go back out and say, very nice meeting. In other words, it doesn't really stick that something's taking place in our life. We begin to just kind of take it for granted, the word that God has given to us in this age. Now on the next slide. And Brother Ram also said, and then when we see those things take place that we do see take place enough, we should never let these things slip. We just let it go through our fingers. That's what's the matter with the great Pentecostal church today. They let the very cream of the crop slip through their fingers when they had it in their hands. Had what in their hands? Had the full revelation of the Bible in their hands, and they just let it slip. They didn't recognize what it was. I wonder, are we recognizing what we've got in our grasp, that the things that have been probed at over the years, now we've got the full revelation. We've got access. We've got access to what Paul said, the way of escape. We've got access to a way to get out of here, a way to get out of our ideas and to get out of the bondage that the devil has put us in, to get out of the fear of death. And he said, look what they've done. They've done like the rest of the churches. They run in the gain in the way of Korah and perished in the way of Cain and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, on the next slide, Brother Branham goes on to talk about don't let things slip. And one way you can let things slip is when you begin to get in your mind, because there's always going to be divisions amongst people. People have different ideas. And when you get around people, somebody's not going to see predestination the way that you do, or the stature of a perfect man, or what the new birth really is. But not to let, he's saying don't get disunified, but the way that you can help one another out is to go out to lunch with somebody and talk about things. The way that you can help one another out is to share things and to not disfellowship, but to actually, you know, like Jesus, and he got a lot of flack for it. He would go out and fellowship with sinners and publicans and prostitutes and, you know, the woman at the well, standing there fellowshipping with her. Even though, you know, you look at that situation, why are you talking to those people? And so Brother Branham said, how did the Indians lose this country to the white man? They were fighting one among each other. They would have held their grounds if they had have all come together. How are we going to lose it? Because we're disunified. How we lose our experience with God is because we disunify. We should never be divided. We might differ in ideas, but let's be heart and heart brother. Now, there's when you really know that you're loving one another, is when you disagree about something, but you can sit down and eat bread and talk about things. That's one of the hardest things for people to do, is actually listen to one another. So many times we want to sit across the table and we're so quick to think of the next thing that we can clock somebody over the head with instead of actually listen. Sometimes if we'll listen to one another, we'll find out that maybe we're closer to one another than we really thought we were. We might differ in ideas, but let's be heart and heart brothers. God wants us to be. He died for the entire church of God, and we do not want to be disunified. Now, one example of that I put over there to the side is in Mark chapter 9. You know, before the disciples got the new birth, they had a lot of problems. They were wanting to see who was the biggest and wanting to see who was the greatest. And that's a quick way to be disunified, is when you're fighting over who the biggest can be. John, the beloved, to put his head on Jesus' breast. John said that, well, what a surprise. John, the one that, you know, everybody's looking, he's the one that everybody said love. John typed love and everything. He said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. In other words, he's not part of our little group here. He's not group. So we said, you're not even, why are you casting out devils if you're not in our little group? But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. So don't let things slip by letting, that's how the devil will get in you and try to, in an assembly and try to tear things apart by using little division, using little things that are differences among us to try to split us apart. So that's what Brother Branham talks about on the next slide. He said, there's some little thing starts. Now remember, we're talking about Hebrews 2:1, lest at any time we should let them slip. Let these truths slip. So Brother Ram said, there's some little thing starts, and from there it begins to roll. That's the same thing starts in a church. A little tattle starts in the church. I don't think that some brother's preaching it the right way. I think he really believes it this way. Or you know what? I don't think that person's living right or whatever. Starts a little something goes out. A little tattle starts in the church, and it rolls up into a place that'll break the church up and separate it. That's what broke up the Pentecostal group. That's what makes them about 20 or 30 different organizations. That's what broke up the Lutherans. And now we're 900 and something different organizations of all the Protestant churches. Is it because some little something started? We should not be divided. We should be one church, one brethren, one brotherhood, standing shoulder to shoulder in these days. Now, that doesn't mean we don't stand for the truth, that we don't stand for what we believe in. But if there's a little division, right, you don't just throw somebody out just because there's difference. And in Matthew 18, it says, Jesus said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. A little child just wants to be taught, just wants to tell me what to do, and is not concerned on the playground about who's big and who's little. They're just there to have fun. We're just, you'd be as a little child, you just come to church and you just, if you want to be a real Christian, just come to church and enjoy the fellowship of the Lord and not try to be big. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same as greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And we know these things, but it's good to rehearse and rehash a little bit sometimes. And on the next slide, Brother Bram said, Paul said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Now here's where we talked, when we were going through Hebrews chapter 1, we talked about what angels were. And this is where Brother Bram really rehashes it again when he preached the message Hebrews chapter 2. What is an angel? What's Paul talking about an angel? He said, now angel is the messenger. The word angel means messenger. And just got through in the first book here, God in sundry times, in diverse manner, a lot of different ways, a lot of different times, spoke to the fathers by the prophets. That was God's messengers. The prophets was God's angels. They were God's angels. Now these are Brother Ram's words. They were God's angels. So that's who Paul's talking about. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? A messenger is an angel, or an angel is the messenger, rather. And on the next slide, he said, you're a messenger this morning. You've got a message of the good news. You got something to carry to your family, to your work. When somebody's downhearted at your work, you've got something positive to share with them because you're a messenger. You got something, little mama's in the kitchen making bread or whatever, you got a message for your kids that you can be a preacher to your family and tell your kids how to be born again or whatever. He said, you're a messenger this morning. You're a messenger of good news or a messenger of bad news. Oh, isn't it beautiful to know that we are ambassadors, that we are angels, the messengers of the resurrection, and we are God's messengers to the sinful world, that Christ lives in our hearts. He lives in our spirits. He lives. Now That's the gospel message, is that he's alive. He's not laying in the grave. He's not laying up in the grave up there in Jeffersonville with Brother Branham. He's alive today. And we'll get into that a little bit more as Paul carries on in this chapter, that he's alive. That's the evidence. That's the evidence in you that something's happened, is he's alive. His nature is there. Now on the next slide, he said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, steadfast means it's something that you can have confidence in. And he said their word was steadfast. In the Old Testament, if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, that he said that way it had to be right. In other words, you can't, you know, when a minister gets somebody behind the pulpit, it would be a whole lot easier if you could just say whatever popped into your head. But we've got to have something steadfast. We got to have something that you can compare back to the word. In the Old Testament, they had the Urim and Thummim that they would stand before and say a prophecy or say something that to compare back against something, and the light would flash across that Urim Thummim. In the New Testament, the Urim Thummim is the Word. So everything has got to compare back to the Word. It would be nice if we could just say, well, I had a vision, or I had a dream about something, or I know what the interpretation of the dream is or whatever, but you've got to take everything back to the Word, because that's what steadfast is. Brother Ram said in the Old Testament, before prophet's word could be made manifest, it had to be examined and proved. It's got to be examined and proved. They wasn't loose with it like we are today. Just go out and have any kind of a sensation or anything, any kind of a sensation. See, I felt something, or I saw something, or I saw a light come down. That's great. And we believe in the power of God. We believe in God doing things, but you got to take it back to the word. He said, oh, glory to God. That's it. You're mistaken. If you just look, if you base everything on a sensation or seeing a light or something or anything like that, that's great. The Bible said that in the last days the devil will impersonate Christianity so close till it'll deceive the very elected if possible. That's right. So we must test it. And how do we test it? By the word. You got to test it by going back to the word. Everything has to be compared back to the word. Your experience has to be compared back to the word. Your new birth has to be compared with the word. Your journey has to be compared with the word. Everything has got to be compared with the word. We don't believe in just something popping into your head and just running with it. We believe in comparing everything back to the word. So if we've got a word that can be compared, a message in this day that can be compared back to the word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we go to the next slide, how shall we escape? And so what is our escape? Brother Brown said, how shall we escape if Elijah's voice brought destruction because he was an angel of the Lord? How will we escape when the voice of Christ speaking through? Or how can we fail when you're prayed for if it's the voice of Christ? And he said, where is your escape? He said, you say, bless God, I belong to the Methodist Church. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Pentecostal. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. You get on a sideline and want to call it spiritualism or some mental telepathy or some devil or something, shame on them. And when we see him come down to confirm his word, how shall we escape if we succor to some church or some organization or denomination or some little pet theory of our own? So the way of escape is not in our own ideas or in our little cliques ideas, denominational ideas, but it's in the revealed word for your day. He said, you better turn loose of what? Turn loose of your own ideas, of your own way of thinking. For every sin received a just recompense under the angels. How much more when the Son of God is speaking from the heavens to make manifest his word? How should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What kind of a salvation? Is it a salvation where we know that Christ died on the cross for us, that he paid for our sins, that he made a way for us to be born again, that he made a way for us to have the same life of Christ in us? How should we escape if we neglect a salvation like that? And on the next slide, Brother Ram said, there's where all the types and shadows of the Old Testament all come and met in Jesus Christ. He paid the supreme price, ascended on high, and sent back the Holy Ghost tonight, which is God's provided way of your escape. The way for you to get out, the way of escape, is the life of God. God coming and taking a seat on the throne of your heart. Now, when he does that, when he takes the seat on the throne of your heart, he bears witness. That's how you know something's happened. So Paul says in Hebrews 2:4, God also bearing them witness. Now listen to how Brother Branham, you're reading this and you've got your mind on the Old Testament that God moved through the life of Elijah and Elisha and all the Old Testament prophets. But now Brother Branham brings it home that something's got to happen in your life. He said, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now see, he says God always bears witness. God always has a way to show that something's taking place. And he said, your life will bear witness. Your life bears witness. I'm going to read this real slow. I don't know what your testimony is, but your life speaks so loud your voice can't be heard. Now see, it's great. We need a revelation of the word, but the revelation of the word will produce a life. And you know, I was thinking this morning coming up, you got to be careful not to say too much. But, you know, you see things on Facebook and people that you thought were Christians and things for years. And you know, Brother Brown said things like this. People, you look at their lives and for years and all of a sudden things come out. And they got a woman on the side or something, or they're ministers that aren't living right and things. Your life testifies. It actually bears witness. And how many of you sitting here, let's use that for an example. How many of you sitting here, as I speak these words or as Brother Wade comes out, if you were to look at the minister speaking behind the pulpit, if you look at their life and recognize that, find out that they're cheating on their wife or something, or they got something going on in their life, they're sneaking off somewhere to smoke pot or sneaking off and smoking cigarettes, then you would begin to lose confidence in that person because their life bears testimony that something is not right. Your life speaks louder, actually, than the words that you speak. And see, I can get up here and I can say things, but then if I go out and I do something different than the message that I'm preaching, my life will actually speak louder than that. And he said, that's why he said, I don't know what your testimony is, but your life speaks so loud your voice can't be heard, but your living, your everyday life will testify what you are. God bears witness. Now think about that now. Think about a witness where the life speaks so loud that your spouse knows, I'm married to a real Christian. That your people at your work know, I'm married to a real Christian. You know, a lot of times your wife or your husband knows the things that go, they know what your struggles are and they know what problems that you have and everything. And if your family knows and recognizes that that's a real Christian, think about what a testimony that is. Think about what a witness. I believe there's a, you think about, Brother Brown, when he preached the message Paradox, he gave that challenge to the Pentecostal churches, and he said, show me five people in your church that are sighing and crying for the abomination done in the city. Show me five people. And he said, I'll apologize for what I'm preaching. Show me five people that have the life of Christ. What kind of life? A life where the same virtue and the same knowledge and the same temperance that Jesus had, the same godliness, the same brotherly kindness, somebody with the same life of Christ, that will be a testimony. Now see, he said the Holy Spirit is a seal, and a seal takes both sides of the paper. Now see, that's where we stumble a little bit sometimes. It's gotta be both sides. Something that God will open up the word to you on the inside and begin to reveal himself, but what good does it do if you preach a great sermon like we were talking about? What good does it do to preach a great profound sermon and then your life is in shambles? What good does it do if you, Brother Bram said in the message influence, if you want to have influence with people, make sure you have that heavenly influence first. And then people will see, you will be able to influence other people. What good does it do if you're preaching a great profound message, but you're not living the life? So it takes both of those things. Amen. The word of God revealed on the inside. Another Brother Ram said in one place, the blueprint opened up. When you see the blueprint of what you're doing here and your purpose here and what you're supposed to, what God's word is doing to you and how it's doing it, then you begin to have confidence that God is doing something. But on the outside, other people can recognize in you that something has happened in your life. Your life is on display. He said they see you standing here and see you when you go away, not only in church, but at everyday work. You're sealed on both sides, inside and outside, by the joy that you have that comes from the faith, the revelation that you have. That's what gives you joy. And by the life that you live, you're sealed in and outside that you know you're saved and the world knows you're saved. By the life that you live, for God bears witness. You know you're saved, and the world knows you're saved. Your wife or your husband know you're saved. Your family, your kids know, man, my mom and daddy have a real patience. What my mom, something happens and they don't fly off the handle, but there's a life that I can see. Let's go to the next slide. Both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Brother Brown talked about in Acts chapter 3 verse 4, he said, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, he said, brother, when the world knows that you've been with Jesus, when the world knows you've been with Jesus, when you can live such an unadulterated life in this present world and in this darkness, that the world knows and can see that you've been with Jesus. That's what Paul is talking about. God also bearing them witness with a life. When a rugged, old, vulgar prostitute of the street can become a lady washed in the blood of the Lamb, God is bearing witness that he lives. God's bearing witness when you see the life of Christ displayed. Now, where does that come from, though? It comes from the revelation of God's word. It comes from, you can't put this on by just struggling and trying. You can't make yourself live that kind of a life. It comes by the word of God received in your heart, changing you bit by bit, changing you precept upon precept, word upon word, here, there, little, until the life of Christ is made manifest in your members. He said, take a drunkard who's so low down that he would run around on his wife, that he would mistreat his children, and take the food from the table to spend on a prostitute. Let him get with Jesus once. You'll see him returning like Legion, who was in his right mind and clothed, to his babies and to his wife and to his loved ones. You'll see somebody that's changed. You know, when the young people get in your car and you're not playing rock music, you're actually listening to the gospel. That's a life on display. when they recognize, when you're able to share a testimony that's encouraging, that's a life on display. And Brother Brown, I'm going to finish on that. I've got three or four more minutes. If you pull up the next slide, he talked about this minister John Witt, that he shared this story of this lady Maccabee that out in Oklahoma that she got, this was a long time ago, she got to ride in a stagecoach and smoking cigars and doing all kinds of stuff, and they ended up tar and feathering her. They wanted to tar and feather her. She was so bad, and he said they didn't even want to touch her. And John Witt was a preacher who began to share this testimony when he was overseas, and he put that story out there. He said, gentlemen of the religions of the world, has your religion got anything that would clean the hands of Lady Maccabee? Is your religion got anything that can take this somebody like this and change their life to where they're a foul individual doing all sorts of things? Does your religion have something that will change this person? And he said, everybody sat still. Then he clapped his hands together and jumped up in the air. He said, glory be to God. The blood of Jesus Christ won't only clean her hands, but it'll clean her heart and make her his bride. I believe in that kind of power in the gospel. That, see, you don't have to sit here and say I'm a church member, but when you go home and you go find something naughty to look at on the internet, you don't have to, there's a power here that can actually change you. I'm trying not to start preaching. Let's read one more and then we'll close. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4. Brother Bram said, in the lamb and the dove, he said, is a new birth and a change of heart that changes a man from a dying being to a resurrected immortal son of God, taking his plate on the seat of the believer's heart, throning himself on the Father's throne. It's a nature change. A nature change. That's what the new birth is. A nature change. It makes you want to read the Bible. It makes you want to come to church. It changes you. It does something that you can't do yourself. He said, is it not true that the musicians can go ahead and come forward. Is it not true that the Bible said the rain falls on the just and unjust? The sun shines on the just and unjust. You take a wheat field and the little heads are turning over. It's a drought. And I'm just going to skip down. He said, the Holy Spirit falls into a meeting, and sometimes the believer and unbeliever worship by the same Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit proves what you are, not the reaction of the Spirit, not to speak with tongues, not to shout. That goes with it too. That all goes with it. But unless the fruit of the Spirit bears record with God's Word, you just got an outward demonstration. The fruit of the Spirit. He said the fruit was your doctrine. And when that is on display in your life, then you've got a witness. God bless you.